kwakuwamfamnako nauvuku naulukufu atamilele.
Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe. Jambo, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Radio Harambe, the companion podcast to our website, jamboeveryone.com. I am Dave McBride, broadcasting from the Radio Harambe studios, and joining me from
the studios
right here, it's Safari Mike. Mike, how come you're back in Jersey today?
Jet lag.
That doesn't even make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
So you have no animals to talk about. No,
I'm tired, Dave. I need a break.
I understand. So on today's show, we're going to discuss all the news from Disney's Animal Kingdom, plus the rest of Walt Disney World. And then in our final segment, we are going to have an animal exhibit fantasy draft. I'll tell you all about that in a few minutes. But first, let's start with the local news. And there is quite a bit of it. Not all of it big, but some of it pretty big. The first being that the Disney Parks blog announced, I think it was last week, about a few new additions to the Animal Kingdom herd. We have a male white rhino born earlier this month, and I think that makes him like the 9th or the 10th rhino born at the Animal Kingdom.
Could be, I don't remember.
That's pretty impressive. There's no timetable yet, as far as I know, for when he's going to be out on stage.
As far as I know, yeah.
And there's also five baby sable antelope.
Yes, the icon of Harambe Wildlife Reserve.
Yeah, which most people don't realize that's what that is.
Yes, it is.
Now, the sable antelope is not an endangered species.
Correct. Yeah, they're pretty well established in the Africa, so they are of least concern, but still, you know, in some local areas they are endangered, but generally speaking, right, they're okay. But it's always good to have icons from Harambe Wildlife Reserve.
And it's certainly always good for guests to see babies.
Oh, of course, babies are always popular. And I particularly like the sable antelopes. I find them to be beautiful animals.
Yeah, so they really are.
I do enjoy seeing them.
And the white rhino still is endangered, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very much so.
So pretty cool news, and we always love to see that. Hopefully, once these guys get on stage, so to speak, we'll start to have some pictures trickle in from the folks there. Let's go on to the next, which is some information that the Disney Parks blog also released. And this was we got a lot of Disney Parks blog stuff this time around, which is unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And this past week, they put some details out on the new Tusker House dinner buffet. They describe it as, and I believe this is a quote, combining the flavors of Boma and Sanaa into one. Oddly enough, though, Mike, they never use the phrase Donald Safari Dinner.
Well, they do mention characters, though.
They do mention characters. Right. They do mention Donald, but they didn't call it that like they do, okay, like the Safari Breakfast or that kind of thing. They never used that. We thought that was going to be the name of it, but it never went that way. I don't know about you. The Kenyan coffee, barbecue pork loin certainly sounds worthy of an attempt. And
yeah, it might be good.
And the banana cinnamon.
Yeah, but that's at lunch.
Oh.
See, the other things that they mention you can get at lunch, like the chicken curry, Malay curry or whatever it was called, is a lunch item, as is the bread pudding that you mentioned.
The banana cinnamon bread pudding,
right.
Yeah.
The pork, the coffee rub pork, however, is not currently on the menu for lunch. So, like many other buffets that are offered at lunch and dinner, there'll probably be a little bit more stuff at dinner, a little bit more, that's what I'm looking for.
A little more variety.
Well, I'm thinking more pricier stuff.
Yeah.
Then you get at lunch, because obviously it's going to be more expensive, but there'll be a little bit more stuff, a little different. But I would imagine the characters are going to be the same, much to my chagrin.
It does look that way.
I just wish, the Harambe Knights, they had those African garb, Mickey and Minnie. Why not have them?
Oh, that'd be great.
Bust out Rafiki and Timon.
Yeah.
Have like a different set of characters, but Apparently it's going to be Donald in the safari outfit again.
Well, that's what you're going to get. So
yeah, that's fine.
Until people get bored of it, and then they'll go on to something else. So speaking of food.
Yes.
We got some news late last week that the original reopening date for the Flame Tree Barbecue, which was originally March 1st, is now set back to, I believe, the end of April or something like that, right?
20-something or other, yeah.
Any idea what the delay could be?
No idea. No idea. I guess the work is more extensive than we thought.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But there's no idea as to why there is more of a delay. I have no idea.
So if you plan on going there, you're going to miss the Flame Tree Barbecue if you're there before the end of April.
Maybe it'll take them that long to get the onion relish back. I don't know. But, I hope so.
But it's hard not to discuss Animal Kingdom, certainly news, without talking about, you know, construction and things changing. Last week, apparently, some more walls went up around Expedition Everest, making the Asia section even more sort of claustrophobic looking. There's a lot of walls up. You can't really see the water at all. This is more work going on for the Rivers of Light. Mm-hmm. I guess it never really dawned on me how extensive the walls would have to be for this.
Rivers of Light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I thought a lot of this construction would be done sort of off stage and brought in like they do at Epcot. You know, I mean, they could bring in the barges and stuff like that. They can create all that out there, but it looks all of this is being created right here.
Correct. Yeah, it looks like
and built permanently.
Seats and building like seats, areas and all that kind of stuff, but I guess the walls are going to be up, the new ones are going to be up for a couple of months.
We still don't have any hard date yet for Rivers of Light, do we?
Everything I hear is March 2016, shortly before, about a year from now, shortly before, I guess, the Easter rush, you know, spring break rush of next year, is my understanding, but obviously that's not official and certainly subject to change.
That as we get closer, that may require a booking on my end. Might require a call to the vacation club for that time frame. Speaking of a sort of event, you know, new things. Actually, none of these are new. They're the Disney Parks blog, which we go back to again, released some dates for their special animal events. These are the things Mike and I always talk about at Rafiki's Planet Watch. They are Earth Day, Party for the Planet on April 22nd, mm-hmm. International Migratory Bird Day, which is May 9th. Everybody mm-hmm. loves their migratory birds. World Turtle Day.
That's a good one.
That is a very good one.
Some of those are celebrated also, by the way, at the Living Seas in Epcot.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And I believe the turtle one is probably at Vero Beach as well.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. World Oceans Day will be on June 3rd. Pollinator Day.
That's a good one.
On June 11th. Pollinators don't get the respect they deserve.
Yeah, they're very important.
Honeybees
and stuff are severely in trouble. And
the trickle-down effect from that mm-hmm. is scary, Mike.
It's more than you think.
Big Cat Day on July 30th.
A popular one.
Primate Day, which I guess includes us, on August 20th.
Speak for yourself, Dave.
And Elephant and Rhino Day.
That's me.
On September 24th. Obviously, we'll get more information in these, as we usually do, as they come closer. And there's certainly going to be more before the end of the year.
I think so. Again, last year they did not do Bat Day on Halloween.
I know, that was disappointing.
And I don't see this on this list again.
Yeah, so. But September 24th seems like awful early to stop doing them. I mean, there's got to be another one snuck in the final quarter.
I don't know about that, because then you start getting to the holiday season. They really do them during that, but
that's true.
But might have been the last one.
But they're doing them right in the middle of the big time in summer.
That's true. But so, the end of September might have been the last one this year.
Yeah, very possibly. So that brings us on to the big story of
the day.
The day,
it
really.
Was today.
Which Mike and I went to recording this on Thursday, and all of this just came out. If you go to JohnBoEveryone.com, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. For Thursday, February 26th, the posting I did then, you'll see all the information on there about what Disney released today, again on their parks blog, about the Avatar project.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at first, I saw this posting and was like rubbing my hands together, like, oh, this is going to be great. And then you realize kind of as you look into it, there wasn't a whole lot there. And the first thing that comes to my mind is the Snow White, the construction of the mine train. This is very much along those lines, like a really post that gets the Twitter explodes.
Right.
Right. And then you realize when you're looking at it that there's a few images that are kind of cool. And I in the post, I screen captured a few of those and put them on there for you so you can see exactly what I'm talking about here. Cool. There are a few. Let's just explain what I'm talking about. The Parks blog posted today an article from an Imagineer whose name escapes me right now, but basically chronicling the latest sort of step in bringing Avatar to life at the Animal Kingdom. His name is Bruce Vaughn, and when you see his face, you'll know him. He's on all of the things, right?
Yeah.
He talks about how there was sort of a meeting where Joe Rohde and his team brought sort of the latest developments to James Cameron and Tom Staggs, who at that point in time was the chairman of Parks and Resorts and is now a CFO or something like that. Mm-hmm. And there is a 37-second long video basically showing James Cameron looking at these things. So the question is, what out of that was kind of important? Well, first and foremost, you see a new concept art, which looks to me to be the entrance to Avatar.
It could be. Very well could be, because
there's a bridge.
Right.
Right. There's a big archway, which is these floating rocks. Mm-hmm. You could see how they're going to make the rocks float, which is there's going to be sort of tree root things kind of holding them up, right? Yeah. So you see how this is all going to work now.
It's going to look like tree roots, but it's really the structures holding everything up.
Exactly, right? Exactly. So that's clever. And
I'm curious, before we move on, I'm curious, though, because if you watch that stupid movie, the floats.
You don't need to do that.
The mountains kind of move a little bit as they appear to be floating in the air. They're not stagnant.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do that.
I don't know if they're going to do that.
I can't see how they would.
But it would be interesting if they just move ever so slightly.
I mean, the thing that came to my mind was they could do some sort of hydraulic arm to make that work, but man, that would require a lot of power. And unless they made them super light, which means they'd blow away in a hurricane.
Right.
So it's kind of... Anyway, the thing that sticks out for me in this picture is the size of the people that are in there, which means this is gigantic.
There's a couple of other things that stick out to me in this picture. One is, what are these blue statues here?
Well, that, again, that's kind of what I'm using as sort of a scale for people. I don't know what they are, but it does seem to me that they look exactly the same. It looks almost like Imagineers just sort of copied and pasted a statue of a person in there to have some sort of scale. You know, because what else could they be? They don't look like the Na'vi.
No, they almost look like Romanesque statues. They,
exactly. Yeah. So
they're light blue.
Yeah, they're very strange. Are these people you see in here? I mean, it's hard to get kind of the scale.
I think so.
But if you can tell from the bridge just how big this archway is, it's huge.
The other thing that struck me is what's behind the archway of if you look behind it. Yeah. There seems to be a large structure.
Big, giant mountain.
And if you go to Screamscape.
Yes. I was just going to bring that up. Yeah.
Okay. They recently showed the construction of the building. They had some neat pictures of it. It looks like a pretty large building.
Yeah, very much so.
And I wonder if that is that.
It has to be.
I guess.
Yeah. And Mike's talking about an article just recently put on Screamscape.com, which is like one of the, you know, clearing houses for Disney rumors.
Yeah, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah, and they have a picture taken recently from the parking lot of the building.
Correct.
Which is now so massive, there's no way they can hide it from the parking lot now.
Yeah,
so
but if you look at the picture...
You don't need a drone anymore. You can see it straight from the parking
lot. If you look at the picture, you can see the outer structure and then the inner structure. And, it's hard to describe. I mean, it almost looks like what you would think the inside of Space Mountain looks like. There's almost like a coaster, but we know it's going to be a Soarin' type ride. But it's an interesting...
Well, the shape of it also lends itself to sort of a surround film as well.
It seems circular in nature.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that was that's the first thing we get out of it. And there's a scene of Cameron and Staggs doing the old Walt thing, which is getting at the eye level of the guest in one of the mocked up...
makes me sick.
One of the mocked up things. So again, there you could see what you think is maybe the scale of this, which is going to be huge. It looks like these buildings are going to be enormous, mm-hmm. and potentially enormous. There's another picture of James Cameron and Tom Staggs, which I, and also the producer of the film, whose name Landau. I can never remember. Landau, right. And I don't care about the guys. What I care about is the picture, what's behind them,
right.
which is they have this giant like billboard of all the pictures of the different plants that mm-hmm. are going to be on Pandora. Mm-hmm. And what I like about that is that's a very Joe Rohde Animal Kingdom thing to care about. You know plants. What I mean? Yeah.
Well, the plants are important in the movie, too.
They are important in the movie, but to document each one of them and have them there, that's a very Rohde-esque thing to
do. Very specific.
Yeah.
You're going to have a few, you know, yeah.
A few exactly. of this, a few of that.
Almost developing their own species of this is the
exactly
12 different species of plants that we're going to have
exactly.
sprinkled throughout the park.
Now, there's nothing in this video about the rides, the attractions, nothing at all.
That's
really
true.
In there. Only a couple of mentions of it.
Well, the only thing I would say, if you go back to the, we talked about the building in the back, but also this bridge here, there's a lot of water features here. You could see, I wonder if that's the boat ride. I don't know if the boat ride's going to go on the outside like that. There's also water coming off the mountain and stuff.
Yep.
So there's a lot of water involved. Which is always good.
It's very cool.
Water feature.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Anyway, what we do get a real clue on is how spectacular this potentially could be at night. Because they show us this bioluminescent forest and how they plan on doing that. And in the video, in 37 seconds, in the last like 2 seconds, they pack in about 8 or 10 quick still shots of all these different bioluminescent plants. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a lot of them here. And then the other cool thing is the walkway. You see the suits, so to speak, the mucky mucks, mm-hmm. walking along the walkway, mm-hmm. where as they step, they leave sort of a light impression into the ground.
It's cool.
It's very cool, Mike.
Reminded me of when you're walking out of Epcot at night.
But a lot better.
Lot more high tech.
So what are your thoughts? What do you think?
I want to know what the puppets are. That's what I want to know. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. But they're very brief. I don't think I still screenshot them.
Yeah,
you did.
Go, scroll down.
Okay.
Scroll down. Right here. If you look in this picture of them looking
at it.
He's
pointing at.
Behind them is another one of these billboards, and the word drum, and
then
it's blocked out,
yep.
and then the word puppets is behind that.
Yeah.
What the heck is that?
I don't know.
What is a drum puppet?
I don't know.
It's clearly that's what it says, drum something puppets.
But it says drum something and puppets. I think that is probably and there.
That could be an and.
I tried a couple of different screenshots to see if I can get more of it, and you really can't see any more of it than what's there because this big giant guy is standing in the way, probably purposely.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. But I don't know. Could we be talking about animatronics? Could they refer to animatronics as puppets?
I don't know, but it does say something about me in this whole thing. The thing I'm focusing in on is what the heck's a drum puppet? I do like the focus on plants. The bioluminescence looks very cool.
Yeah.
I hope this is an integral part of the land. I hope you also see just sort of like, you know, Cameron and Staggs, I guess, you know, walking around like touching the plants and stuff. I wonder mm-hmm. if we'll get to do that. Just not even being, on a ride or on the boat ride. I want these plants to be a part of the land itself, like going to the shop. You know, you're walking
right.
past these bioluminescent plants or whatever. So I hope that's an integral part. Even during the day, you know, when you see the concept art at the beginning, it looks interesting anyway.
Oh, sure.
I mean, at the very least, it'll be appealing visually. We'll see what the rides are. I mean, to me, it looks nice and you got a boat ride, so it can't really be that bad.
To me, I can't imagine it's not going to be entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless the rides are just a flop, like a Mission Space style flop, which I can't imagine they're going to be.
It's sore and it can't be that bad.
So that's why I can't imagine they're going to be. And everybody likes a little boat ride, even if it's
boat rides. I'm more intrigued by the boat ride than the
sore
ride.
Yeah. So it's all the potential is there.
It's becoming more and more apparent to me that this land could definitely be the Disney version of Cars Land. And that is something that is very immersive.
Oh, yeah.
You know, popular to the general public, but, you know, really doesn't fit where they put it, because Cars is not California.
Right.
Neither is Avatar really belonging in the Animal Kingdom. But, you know, I think people will look past that and be like, you know, this is beautiful. This is, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like the potential to be just jaw-droppingly beautiful. Like, one of the most incredible sensory immersive experiences you can ever ask for. And it makes me kind of, at the same time I see something like that, I get excited about it. It makes me think to myself, man, couldn't they put this kind of effort into something else? You know, but that's the thing that really kind of is the downer. Like, you hope that they could put this kind of effort into something like Star Wars, or, you know, one of their own properties, God forbid, you know, in the future.
And I, like I said before, this better be a home run, because if it's not, people are just going to rag on it.
Oh yeah.
If it's not an A, you know, the track, you know, an A land, people are going to say this is a failure.
I think it's
not going to. I mean, even if it's pretty good, like maybe the new Fantasyland, pretty good. But if it's like that, people are going to mock it left and right.
But if they're going to keep the lights down at night, and you're going to literally walk during paths like that,
right?
In a forest like that, there's like no way it can't be a home run. I mean, well, it'd be unlike anything they've ever made.
Right. It's got to be.
That's the thing.
Or it's got to be a home. There's no guy doing this with James Cameron and Avatar and not doing a Disney attraction or product. It's going to be a home run, or people are going to be all over it like white on rice.
And let me just sound this warning for the Disney folks. When the first set of bioluminescent plants, the lights fail in them, and when the first section of the pathway no longer works, you can't leave it there for a year.
They will. More than that. It might be like years.
You can't leave it there, because it would just kill it, you know? It would just destroy it.
Uh-huh. It would destroy the whole atmosphere.
I mean, so they are really ambitious with this. We got to give them that. You know, there's no way around that. Anyway, that's it for the local news. We are going to take a short break here. Oh, before we leave, though, I just want to make one other mention. Last week, we did not have a podcast of Radio Harambe, and that was because Mike and I were guests on the Dixie Landings radio show. I just wanted to give a shout out to them. We discussed with Scott and Matt, the two hosts, the history of the Animal Kingdom Lodge. And it was we had a great time. I thought it was a really pretty good discussion if you're a fan of the Lodge and want to know a little bit about it. Mike couldn't make up a backstory for the Lodge fast enough, but he tried. Anyway, so check them out. Dixie Landings Radio. You can find them on iTunes. Go ahead.
And I was also last week on the Mighty Minute Mouse.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So we can always.
And what did you discuss there?
They actually, because they're fans of our show, they did the three little things, two medium things, and one big thing. But it's for this one, it was throughout Walt Disney World. In fact, they wouldn't let me do Animal Kingdom. I had to do everything else.
Gotcha.
So, gotcha. It was an homage to our
shows. I love an homage.
So it was good.
All right, so let's take a short break. When we come back, Mike, we'll have the world news.
Jumbo Radio Harambe listeners, this is Jennifer Green of Destinations in Florida Travel, the official travel partner of Radio Harambe and JumboEveryone.com. If you're thinking of planning a Disney vacation or any vacation, please contact me at 443-424-0181 or use the conservation link on JumboEveryone.com. A portion of the proceeds from every package book goes right back to the conservation fund. We thank you for supporting Radio Harambe and JumboEveryone.com.
Welcome back to Radio Harambe. It is time now for the world news. And with that, as always, Safari Mike. Mike, what's in the world news today?
Quite a bit, Dave. We're going to go to Disney Springs and then to Burbank. But first, let's talk about ticket prices. They have gone up as of February 22nd across the board raises. The only thing that were not raised were ticket prices to Disney Quest, which it still boggles my mind that people would pay for that. Parking fees and wheelchairs and strollers and that kind of thing. The single-day pass for Magic Kingdom went from $99, and it has crossed the three-figure threshold. It is now $105 per day to attend the Magic Kingdom. The other parks went up from $94 to $97. Some of the other things that increased: annual passes went up about $20. The multi-day tickets went up, you know, a few bucks each. Water parks went up about $5. I'm not going to go into all the different ticket price ranges.
Good.
Find your own. Find the website. You'll see it. But yet again, ticket prices have gone up. The big, maybe the most important thing, is that with the multi-day tickets, you can no longer purchase the no expiration date option. So,
why do you think that is?
I guess, that's because Disney doesn't want people to buy these tickets at a good rate and then use it 3, 4, 5, 6 years later. The ticket prices are, you know, twice as much as they were, you know, 5 or 6 years earlier. That's why.
Seems an interesting decision. Anyway, I propose that this no longer constitutes a news story from this point forward, because every year they increase their ticket prices, roughly the same percentage. That's never going to stop. Mm-hmm. And every year people complain. Every year it blows up my Google news feed. And it's just not news. It's just not.
It's not that big of a deal, really.
It's not that big of a deal. And if you're not happy with the price, don't go.
That's exactly right.
Don't go.
I used to think, wow, $100 for a theme park is a lot of money. But then I went. Yeah. Then I went to a Yankee game.
Even a hockey game is that much.
Yeah. And just for a ticket, not a great ticket. You know, a decent seat at a New York Yankee ball game. The ticket price was, I mean, I didn't pay it because whatever.
Yeah.
But the face value was like $85.
Only, it's crazy.
$10-$15 less than going to, you know, Epcot. And that's right. 3 hours of a ball game.
And nobody pays for the $100 anyway. Nobody pays that much because everybody buys multiple days.
Right, exactly. Who does? Who would pay?
Nobody does.
And, you know, of course, back to the ball game thing, you know, food is more expensive at a Yankee Stadium. Parking is more money than it is.
Oh, sure.
But not only that, but concerts, going to a concert, go see whatever.
Absurd.
It's more than this.
Yeah.
So
Twice as much, often.
Oh, often. So, yes, $100 a day is a lot, and I understand that. And Disney's not cheap. But, you know, compared to some other things, it's not that bad.
No. I'd be embarrassed to tell you how much I paid for my Jimmy Buffett ticket.
I'd be embarrassed to go to Jimmy Buffett.
No, I would stop it. What's next?
All right, Dave, let's go to Disney Springs, which is a new
the golf course
are,
off the...
Yes. New things, Dave. No, sorry for the pun. Or springing up all over the place.
Oh, yeah. The...
Erin McKenna's Bakery NYC opened.
Is this somebody I'm supposed to know?
No, but it's the baby cakes. It's that vegan stuff.
Oh,
that kind of
right,
stuff.
Right,
so
right.
That was gone. Oh. The Marketplace Causeway opened last week. That is basically the bridge that goes from Rainforest Cafe.
All the way over to the west side.
Right, it goes from Rainforest to T-Rex, essentially.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not that good.
Yeah, but it cuts a lot.
It cuts off the World of Disney and all the
and
old
there
shops.
There are four kiosks that have opened there, including a gourmet cookie place.
On the causeway.
On the causeway.
Oh, nice.
You know, a bath stop thing, a children's toy place. Sound Lion, which apparently sells a lot of like earbuds and things like that, opened in the landing.
Really?
Sanook, which is a shoe store, that opened up. There's a couple of others. There's a flip-flop place from Brazil that opened up.
Is Sanook on a kiosk, or is that a real
store? That's a real store in the landing, yeah. A few of the stores in the landing have opened up.
The landing is what again?
That is where, I believe, Paradiso 37 is and all that area.
Pleasure Island. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe the most the biggest one is the Co-op is changing a little bit. The Co-op is, of course, where the marketplace was, where they were selling that stuff. Mm-hmm. They're moving what's called the Wonderground Gallery, which sells a lot of these... You know, paintings and stuff like that, prints that you can buy.
Painting
moving that
and
to
prints.
Another spot, and then in the old spot, the sign shop opens up, which will sign, you know, different things that you can buy that are based on various signs throughout Disney World.
Okay.
So that might be cool. I haven't really shown you anything yet, but it's, you know, kind of that eclectic kind of
cool
product stuff. So that's going into the Marketplace Co-op. So that's Disney Springs.
Cool. None of that sounds repugnant.
Sounds fine. No, I mean, I'm not going to go shopping in Sanook, but the sign shop might be cool.
I always told people, you know, Pleasure Island and, you know, as an entity is gone. And now, you know, the reality is that Downtown Disney needs to be as much a service for locals as it is for those of us who come down there. You know, and so the fact that they're obviously pivoting to that almost exclusively now, you know, with the shop selections and all these kind of things. I mean, that makes all the sense in the world. They're trying to build, you know, the best mall in Central Florida.
Right.
And that's what they're going to do. So, I mean, I really don't think us as travelers are that, or us as tourists are really the point anymore.
No, the food though, it might be.
Sure.
They're opening different and fun food places. So.
Yeah. But
yes, this is for.
Yeah. It's a pain to get down.
It is now. It might be better once they open up the new exit off of the highway there, and all the parking garages are open. But that's going to be a year or two.
Yeah, and if you're coming to Disney, I mean, are you going shopping for Sinuk shoes?
No, absolutely.
No, that's what I mean. So, and there's nothing.
But I might go to the sign shop and get some cool coasters that have like the Adventureland sign on.
If something does really well there at Downtown Disney, sells well, it will end up in a park soon.
Well, sure, like all the co-op stuff from tiki glasses and stuff.
Exactly.
You can find them in the Emporium and a couple of other places too. Absolutely.
So you don't have to go all the way there for that. So what's next?
No, but that was the point of it. That was like their testing ground.
Sure, sure. So what's next?
Let's go to the Magic Kingdom. The Main Street Plaza Garden West has opened up, and that is part of the hub that they've opened up and made it like a park to create a lot more pathways and free up space to walk around. There's also a Fast Pass Plus area for wishes and things like that there. There's, a nice little fountain, some little character statues. But it's, some of those walls are coming down that are around the hub, and they've opened up into sort of, it's almost like a nice little park. And this is the one right in front of Crystal Palace.
Okay.
Not that exciting?
No. Yeah. Is there something to be excited about?
Well, I think the hub freeing, helping out the hub there a little bit, because that could be a disaster after wishes or a parade goes on. So having more space, more room, more places to hang out there is beneficial. I think it's definitely a benefit. And it looks okay. It's just a pretty little park, but nothing more.
It's fine.
Last one, Dave, is I consider bad news.
Uh-oh.
As we briefly mentioned before, Tom Staggs has been moved from the chairman of Walt Disney Parks and Resorts to chief operating officer, which is essentially, you might as well just name that, Bob Iger's replacement in a couple of years.
Do you really think, though?
I think that's a strong possibility.
Really?
He certainly has replaced Jay Rasulo as the favorite child within. If it's not going to be Staggs, then they're going out.
I think they'll go out.
If it's within, it's going to be Staggs. That's obvious. He's now the right-hand man to Iger. The only option is to go out. But they have moved Chapek to the chairman of Walt Disney Parks and Resorts. And why do I think this is not such a great thing? That is because he's been in the Disney company for a little while. Since 2011, he has been the president of Disney Consumer Products. Which, I'm just tired of everything being based upon products.
I mean,
it's going to be a very merch-centric, decision-making process.
Here. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, man. I'm not happy with, somebody who's involved in their consumer products and retail and all that being in charge now of the parks. Even before that, he was involved in that kind of aspect of the parks. He was from 2009 to 2011. He was the president of distribution for the studios, so he was involved in making sure their content was distributed over different channels and things like that. I mean, his base is getting the product out and getting it out on different platforms and this whole synergy product. I mean, the chances of having an Expedition Everest based upon something that's not a movie. Is not helped by having this guy become chairman of Parks and Resorts.
You're right, and I think that whole concept punted when Bob Iger became CEO, a non-creative guy became CEO, because that was really what Eisner brought to the table, was that he had a little kind of overconfidence in his own creativity sometimes and wanted to be able to take credit for new things. He wanted to be able to say, this is what I created. This is what we created. Mm-hmm. When Bob Iger all he cares about is this is how much money we've made.
Yeah,
is what we've invested.
Right, but
Staggs
is no longer in this role.
Well, that's true.
And however you feel about Tom Staggs,
I have no reason to feel good or bad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever, he's fine. But his, for example, when they were building New Fantasyland, the original design was to basically have no rides. It was all going to be these meet and greets with princesses.
Right.
Tom was the one who said, you know, we need a little, we need some rides, we need something to draw the. So he's the one, he's the force behind the Seven Dwarves Mine Train. I just suspect somebody whose base is in retail might not make that decision. He might be, well, meet and greets, it's cheaper, we can, you know, move product.
Sure.
That's what bothers me a little bit about this.
I you know, when it comes to the parks, and it comes to the current leadership at the parks, you know, the parks for years and years now have always been, you know, a slave to the bean counters, and that's what it's for. I mean, that's what we're here for now. To me, the problem, if you're going to pinpoint a problem with Disney, it's the creative side of Disney, which I think all of us thought John Lasseter would cure, you know, the film quality, the new characters. Those are much fewer and further between than they used to be. And I think they're getting somewhat better now, but that's really where the issue is. So, I mean, Tom Staggs and Bob Iger are guilty of not making something in the park, a new creation in the park. But that creative spirit has sort of been quelled in just in general and replaced with, you know, purchasing of previous existing characters and things like that. And now for the next few years, they're going to need to make good on all those purchases. So you're not going to see hundreds of millions of dollars put into developing a new off the, you know, blue sky attraction like Expedition Everest, for if number one, because I think, like I said, like I've been saying, I think the creativity is gone, but also because they need to make good on the investment in Marvel and in Star Wars, and that's where it's going to come from.
Clearly, and when was Everest built? 2006?
Yeah.
That's only 9 years ago.
I know.
There's no chance in hell, pardon my French, that
they
would
that's French.
Ever build an Expedition Everest today.
No.
Never
not at all.
In a gajillion years.
No, not at all.
Having said that, the movies, though, the movie department.
See, this is where we're going to be way off. Go ahead.
Is I can pretty hear it already. Inventive and has created characters. I mean, for all of your whatever about Frozen, I mean, those were original.
I've never seen Frozen.
Right,
so
no.
Let's talk about ones I have seen.
Okay. Have you seen Wreck-It Ralph, Big Hero 6?
I haven't seen Big Hero 6. I saw Wreck-It Ralph, I saw, yes.
Okay.
But these are not enduring characters that are going to. Even the Wreck-It Ralph was a good film, a fun film. They're not enduring characters. This is not.
You don't even have to see it to say that.
I don't know that.
You don't need to see it.
All
to
I
say
know
that.
Is it's hot now, like Stitch was. You know,
I don't think it's hotter than Stitch ever was.
But it's hot now, so it may.
That's fine.
We don't know.
That's fine.
And yes, maybe they are enduring. Maybe they are, because they are incredibly popular.
Right. And
so there's one.
The Pixar characters. I mean, there was a dry spell of some sequels here.
There's been a big dry spell.
There's a couple.
I mean, Pixar hasn't made a good film in a long time.
Is that true?
I mean,
Toy Story 3 was a good film. What were the last couple of films?
Toy Story 3 was a reasonable film.
Cars 2 stunk.
Cars 2 was terrible.
Monsters, Inc. 2 was fine. But
the university, you mean?
Whatever it was called. It was fine. But, I mean, I'm very much looking
it's
forward
not,
to
and
the movie
I,
coming out in June, Inside Out. And that's an original.
Okay.
And the one after that is The Good Dinosaur, original.
It's important.
And the next couple of Disney features are, I forget the one about the, you know, it's a caper movie with a rabbit and a fox. I forget the name of it. And Moana, which is a Polynesian princess. They're at least original ideas. I mean, sooner or later, obviously, we're going to get Frozen 2.
Right.
But we're not getting, you know, Princess and the Frog 4 coming out in June or anything like that. I mean, they're at least trying, and I guess that's Lasseter.
Listen, Toy Story, Finding Nemo, these were gigantic hits, huge characters that are going to stick with us forever. And I believe that Pixar has made good films since then. Listen, Ratatouille is my all-time favorite animated film. But I know that it's not that it's not Toy Story. I understand that. One of my next favorite is probably Up. Again, it's not Toy Story. It's a popular film that did well. It's a great film. But it's not a film that 30 years from now people are going to be looking back like they will at Toy Story. And they were
not sure
on
if
a,
I necessarily agree with that. But
they were on a run of these for a while. They did Toy Story, Nemo, Monsters Inc. They did those three kind of all in a row.
The problem with Up is that it's
too adult.
It's too adult. It's not gonna translate into merchandise.
Exactly.
That
That's what I mean.
It did very, very well in the movie theaters. I think it'll always be
Cars was an enduring hit.
People always appreciate that movie, but it will never move.
Cars was a huge hit.
Cars was a pretty big hit.
I did not like the film.
No, I didn't either. And
so
the
I don't
merchandise is huge.
Right. So I'm not talking about what I like or don't like. It doesn't really make a difference to me. It's just that the last few, Brave, Monsters University.
That was the last original one, I think.
Yeah. I mean, Toy Story 3, Up, Ratatouille,
Toy Story 3, I thought was great.
WALL-E. These are not films that I think are huge. They really need to find that mojo again with one of these movies.
Well, maybe it's Inside Out. That looks good.
I hope it's the dinosaur because I would love to see the dinosaur.
I'm not thinking that's...
Why?
It's been pushed back a couple of times. They had to change the director.
Yeah,
they had to change stuff. Inside Out has been more, I think, is more of the one that the Pixar people feel is going to be.
That's Pete Docter film, yeah.
I think it's going to be a hit. I mean, even the trailers are funny. It's a clever idea. It's a unique idea, which, I mean, it just seems like old Pixar. It seems like up WALL-E Pixar to me. But we'll see.
Yeah.
As soon as the Good Dinosaur in its concept... But it's had a troubled past so far.
Yeah, and it's a rookie,
and it is
director.
A rookie, correct.
So you never know what you're gonna get.
Right.
So that's, as opposed to like
Pete
I said,
Docter.
A Pete Docter film or an Andrew Stanton film or a John Lasseter film, you know what they are. Okay, so is that it for the
that's it
world news? All right, so we're gonna take another short break. When we come back, we're gonna be joined by a guest to go with a. Animal exhibit fantasy giraffe.
You're gonna have to tell me how this works out.
I'll explain it all on the other side of the break.
Come on, gang. Let's take it home.
If you're like me, you're an Animal Kingdom fan who is just a bit tired of listening to so-called Disney experts who criticize our beloved park for being a, quote, half-day park. Well, it's time to put your frustrations into action. By going to the Jumbo Everyone store at Zazzle.com/JumboEveryone and picking up one of our exclusive new Not a Half Day Park t-shirts. They look great, and we will donate 50% of the profits to our conservation partners. The rest of it will go to helping keep Radio Harambe on the air and JumboEveryone.com on the web. Wear it the next time you visit the parks, or even better, the next time you attend a Disney fan meetup. Go to Zazzle.com/JumboEveryone today and wear your Animal Kingdom pride for all to see. Radio Harambe. It is time now for our feature segment, and we are joined by Safari Mike's very own miniature Safari Mike. We call him Explorer Mickey. Mickey, how are you?
I'm good. Jumbo.
Jumbo. And what we wanted to do here for this is we wanted to bring in another person because I think Mike and I with this kind of would have been able to predict each other's answers on these. So we wanted to throw in a wild card here.
That's right.
So we brought you in because I honestly don't know anybody else besides the two of us who knows more about the Animal Kingdom animal exhibits than him.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Lou Mangello canceled on us at the last minute.
And so did Joe Rohde.
That's right.
I'm your own son.
Okay, so here we go. The animal exhibits. We're going to have a fantasy-style draft.
All right.
Okay? You could pick any animal exhibit that you want for any reason, whether it be because you like the animals, you like the area it's in, or, I don't know, for whatever reason you want, because you had a nice afternoon there once. Here are the rules. It is a draft. So once somebody has been drafted, it's off the board. So if I should happen to pick the penguin exhibit... of which there isn't one, you then can't take the penguin exhibit.
All right.
Okay? The other is, we're going to call this a snake-style draft, which means the person who picks first in the first round will pick last in the second round. And finally, there's three.
Just three?
There's three.
All right.
Unless you want to do four.
I was thinking four, just to be
fair. Okay, so let's do four. So we'll do four. Okay? And finally, a ride, a trail, a land is not an exhibit.
Right.
That is a collection of exhibits.
Right. Yes.
One
yes.
exhibit.
And you're not, it's only one exhibit.
I got it.
So if you wanted to choose the penguin exhibit that's part of the Maharaja Jungle Trek, you could, but you can't choose the Maharaja Jungle Trek.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. Do we have any other questions before we begin?
I do. You want us to explain why we picked that after we pick it?
You can, if you want to. Sure.
All right.
I believe that would really be what you have to do.
Pretty quick if we didn't do that.
Yes. Okay. At the end, I will judge who has the best.
All right.
I wonder who's going to win.
And we are going to... The draft has been randomly chosen in age order. Which means Mickey will pick first.
Okay.
Yay.
I will pick second.
Okay.
Safari Mike will pick last.
And fourth.
And fourth.
All right.
So you have the double pick. You have the wheel, as they say.
The turn.
The turn.
Yeah.
That's what I had in the Mighty Men of Mouse draft.
So what we're hoping to do here is really give guests the chance to give listeners basically the 12 best animal exhibits on property. These are the exhibits, certainly the first two picks that we take, the ones that, right, this is what our guide would be. Don't miss these.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. So, young explorer Mickey, you go first.
Quick question. Do we go from fourth to first or first to fourth?
No, pick your most.
I'll tell you who's next.
You want the most.
You go first. Okay. So go. Pick the one you want the most first because you don't want... You don't want to lose that because I'm going to take him.
We're not doing our top four list.
Yeah, no. We're picking him in draft. So first the best.
Okay, so for my number one, I picked the gibbons in Anandapur.
I got to take that off my list.
That is a good one.
Okay.
That's one of my favorite exhibits.
Now, the gibbons is the right by the Maharaja Jungle Trek
entrance. Yeah, it's in Anandapur. And I don't know. I've always just liked watching... active animals, like not like
and
little lazy
are.
Bums who sit there
to be
soaking
mean.
In the sun.
Like your father.
Basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
So, that was.
Yeah, I thought that the gibbons would be a
that's a good one.
Perfect
it is a good one.
I think that's my favorite. That would be my number one pick.
Because it also combines not only great active animals, but an incredibly well-themed exhibit.
Oh, yeah.
Very well-themed.
You know, beautiful exhibit.
It kind of looks like ancient ruins, kind of. I think that's what
exactly
they were going
it is.
Through.
It's gorgeous. Cool. So that's your first. So you get the gibbons.
Yeah.
Let me write that down.
We could do a whole show on that exhibit, really.
Yeah.
I could anyway. One day.
Yeah, we could.
How about we sneak in there.
Okay. So that means I go next.
All right.
And the first one that comes to my mind when I thought about this was the gorilla exhibit on Pangani Forest. It is, I think, one of the most beautiful animal exhibits I have ever seen in any zoo anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It is incredible. The bridges through it, the wooden bridges through it, the fact that you're surrounded by this troop, it's just incredible. And there always seems to be something happening there. And whether it be a young one tumbling down the... you know what I mean?
My
or
favorite part.
Tumbling down the hill, or whether it be the bachelors doing their thing, mm-hmm. or even just watching one of those big males walk, pace across is such an impressive thing. I believe, the most beautiful of all of the animals.
It's a good one, and I particularly like how they have it separated between the bachelor herd and the family group. And you know, for our listeners, if you go there like late in the afternoon, right before they close the Pangani, the bachelor group tends to be very active and running around. So that's always sort of a hidden gem. That's a good one. It's a good gorilla exhibit. I like it. I like the theme of it because, you know, you're supposed to be in the Pangani has this theme of scientists out in the jungle, and you have some of the stuff, the chalkboard and stuff like that in the first part of the exhibit. So it's a good one.
I've been in exhibits where you're surrounded by things, but usually there's glass or something. Mm. But to be, you mean really get a feel you're in the jungle there. You know,
it's very jungle-like.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Incredible.
And just the way that Disney is able to, like, capture that you're in this place.
That's what it's all about, that one.
Yeah.
Put you in a different place.
Put you in a different place. Okay, Mike. You're first.
All right, since you took the headliner of the gorillas there, I will take the headliner at the Maharaja Jungle Trek, and I'll go tiger exhibit.
Okay, everybody has that on their list,
yeah,
I'm sure.
It's a beautiful exhibit. I'm sure. It, you know, it has the murals of the Maharaja. Forget the tigers for a minute. But it has, when you first walk there, you're at the hunting lodge, and there you have the water fountain, which was, you know, for people who don't know, the water was put there by the Maharajas to entice the tigers closer so they can hunt them. You're at the, you know, you're right there at their hunting grounds.
That's
the murals of the different, the four different Maharajas are there. Also, towards the end, you have the mural of the last Maharaja being killed by
right.
a tiger.
Right.
It tells a very detailed story if you know what to look for. Plus, tigers are beautiful animals. There's a Sumatran tiger now, which hopefully will have babies in the not-too-distant future. So that is my number one.
I just wanted to say something about the tigers in the Maharaja Jungle Trek. Wasn't Disney going to put the Kali River Rapids through there or something like that?
No, what you're thinking of is they were initially, the Kali River Rapids was initially called Tiger River Run.
Yeah, that's what
I'm thinking
of.
Tigers on it.
Right.
The original idea was that instead of having a jeep taking you through an African savanna, you're going to ride a boat through the Asian jungle, and you would be able to see tigers on that ride.
But then they realized tigers
that.
Swim.
Yeah.
Tigers swim, correct. And,
yeah. So, okay, so that's your first. You get the tigers. Mm-hmm. You're on the wheel, so you go second.
I'm going to need a commissioner's ruling on this one.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to go to Pangani.
Okay.
And I want the aviary. Do I get the whole aviary?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That is one one single exhibit, correct.
I particularly like the Pangani one. Of course, there's also the one in the Maharaja Jungle Trek, which has beautiful birds in its own right. But I like the Pangani because of the weaver birds. I love watching the weaver birds flying around and building their nests. And I also like the fish tank, the different African cichlids there. I think are beautiful fish. I love that whole exhibit. It was the first of the two, and it's just a great way to show birds.
I like it. The aviary is good.
I too like watching the weaver birds.
They're some of my favorite animals. If we went for
get a duck,
if we maybe we'll have to do a fantasy draft of favorite animals, not just exhibits.
Oh, that could be the next.
And weaver birds would be high on my list because I love watching them.
So now I believe, about to win this draft with my second pick overall, which is, if that is one exhibit, then one exhibit is the main savanna at the Kilimanjaro Safaris.
I would agree with that.
So come over, see the baobab tree, and you enter the vast plains filled with giraffes, sable antelope.
So you're talking the first one.
The big one.
Right.
The one with the wildebeests and all that.
The one around the lions is pretty big too, but yes.
No, this one is the big open one.
Yeah, it's the biggest one.
That's the iconic image. I mean, for all of us who take the safari, and I think for Animal Kingdom, you come over, you see that baobab tree, and then you see that open plain.
That's cool.
It's incredible. I mean, that is the vision that people have of the Animal Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So I would take the main savanna of Kilimanjaro Safari.
That's a really
good
one.
Actually.
I know it is. That's why I picked
now,
it.
Mickey goes.
Now you go twice.
Twice.
Yep.
All right. For my number two,
this better be a good one.
Actually, you might not understand why I did this.
I doubt that.
I did the American crocodile in Dinoland.
Cool. All
right. Why?
Even though it's a really small exhibit and is just basically thrown there in Dinoland, the way that they explain to you how it's the closest living relative or something like that to the ancient dinosaur. Not ancient, like...
They better be ancient.
Well,
gonna
yeah,
have to be.
I mean, like, before ancient. Like the...
Before ancient?
I don't think that's a thing, actually. The dinosaurs that... And I really just... That's
a good one. I like the crocodile.
Yeah.
I like it, too. But as a second pick overall... It's kind of a small exhibit. They're Listen, the crocodile that's in there is gigantic.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. It's impressive. And anytime you have an animal exhibit where you can get, where you feel like you're up close to them,
yeah,
gotta like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big thing. So your American croc, so what's your second one? Pick number three.
My number three is the okapi from Pangani.
Good pick.
Yeah, did you have that?
I did. Yep, I did.
Well, that's actually like almost a double. Because it's, you see
it's
them on the Pangani Forest
Trail. And that's
the same exhibit that you see as you're driving through Kilimanjaro Safaris.
That's one of the things I liked about it, because I always thought that that was cool how they were able to do that, like make it the same exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
It just always astounded me. And again, Disney can basically do anything. And
And that was why I put it on there. I think that the fact that they took the time in there to tell the story as to why okapis are there, because as Mike can probably talk, okapis aren't from the area that Harambe is supposed to be.
They have
to go through a whole sort of backstory about what how they ended up there, and you know
they're initially from the Ituri Forest in the Congo, and that's not where you're supposed to be.
You're supposed to be in East Africa.
So, there's this whole big fake newspaper article about how they're reintroducing them to that area, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Very well written.
It is. It's interesting. It's fun, and it actually goes into sort of the backstory of the Pangani Forest Trail itself. You know, the doctor who's in charge of the students there, and all this kind of stuff. So it really gives you a lot of information.
That's another thing, though. Like, I just wanted to say, that's just Disney being Disney. They
certainly there. Well,
they make it feel like you're actually there.
Yeah, I like that about it. So you took the okapi.
Yeah.
I go next.
Neener, neener.
I do, yeah. I'm second.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
You go on the wheel next.
That's right. My apologies.
So you've got one great pick, one good pick, and the other one, I don't know. So I don't know if you're going to win this. But you're doing better. You're doing better than your father, though, because he picked little tiny chick birds.
Dave, we know you're gonna win yourself.
Well, I think I'm gonna close the deal here with my third pick, which is the other exhibit in Anandapur.
Sea Mangs?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing. It has everything the Gibbon exhibit has, except the Gibbons you're closer to. So you see a little bit more, you know, you get more detail. You get up close and personal with the Gibbons, which you don't get the Siamangs. You get there a little bit too far away. However, the acrobatics that they pull off are really neat. I mean, they're going across these high wire acts.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really, really cool. So
sometimes you hear a call in the morning, too. They're very loud.
I have a couple of videos of them doing
that. Yeah, they're on our website.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a really neat exhibit, and I believe that picking that along with my other two, I don't see how you guys are going to beat me. But you got two now to finish off, Mike. So what are your two?
I could go. No,
he always does this. He always throws out more. Don't throw out anything because you're not done yet.
I was just going to say I could go bigger, but I think I'm just going to go aesthetics.
Okay.
The first one I'm going to pick is the pond in the Oasis. The one that's not the front one. The one that's sort of in the back on that path that cuts across right before you get to the caves. And you have the rope bridge there.
Oh, right.
You have like some waterfowl there. That's where the macaws are on each side. And it has a beautiful waterfall that spills into the pond. It's just an aesthetically pleasing exhibit.
Okay.
You can sit there and watch the birds swimming and the macaws.
I like it.
Waterfall. It's walk the rope bridge. It's just very nice. It's like the really sort of symbolizes the Oasis. It's just calm.
Sure.
Amazing. And I'm gonna go.
So, but what is the animal that you're? What are we looking at? There's a collection of birds there, correct?
Yeah, the black-necked swan I think is in there.
Okay.
As well as a couple of other things.
Oasis swans. Okay.
Why, are you writing the animals in there?
I'm just writing down the exhibits.
Okay. I would call that the pond in the Oasis.
The Oasis Swan Pond.
There you go.
There you go.
Right across from where the wallaby is.
Yeah, well, that you can hardly ever see.
I didn't pick the wallaby, though.
Good. So what did you pick? This is your last one. You better make it a good one.
Yeah.
I am going to pick... I have two things on my list. One is aesthetically pleasing, but I'm going to go with more shock value, not shock value, that's probably the bats exhibit in the Maharaja Jungle Trek. That's a good one. I mean, I like the way they exhibit the bats. You're at the station there where they have the, you know, the talks about bats, and, you know, the people of Anandapur go there, and you know, you even have some sort of side exhibits there with the lizards and things like that. But people love the bats, and I just love how you're able just to be right there. And they have the vertical wire that keeps the bats on the other side. Of course, you know, some people I think ask, you know, how come they're not flying at us? That's because you have this thin wire going up and down, which also makes it a lot easier to see the bats themselves. And you know, it's just a great exhibit. And
it is.
I love the bats. People love them. I think it's one of the prime examples of animal exhibits in the park.
It is, and I was gonna go with that one
instead of the Siamangs.
But I thought you'd take the Siamangs.
I probably would have actually.
So that's why I like the Siamangs and the bat exhibit probably just the same. But I thought if I didn't pick the bats, it might fall to me in my next pick here. But it didn't. You got it. So now I have only maybe three or four left for my final pick. And I am going to go with wow factor rather than. See, I got a lot of big wow exhibits here. I kind of want, maybe I'll pick one. You know what? I'm not going to go with the wow factor. I'm going to go with the proximity. I like being up close, and maybe a little bit of a personal thing to me, and that is the Komodo dragons.
That's a good one.
Oh. On the Maharaja Jungle Trek, because a Komodo dragon is one of those animals you almost never see, okay? And they are incredibly rare, and they are amazingly cool to look at, unique.
Seriously?
And what I love about the some of the exhibits that I think are the best of the Disney exhibits, the small ones, are the ones where they've really engineered a sight line that almost always works. You know, you can't help this in zoos. You have a lot of exhibits where you don't see the animals very well, right?
Can happen,
and it can happen in a lot of exhibits. So when they're able to engineer an exhibit where that almost never happens, you know, then you really got to applaud it. And I think that the Komodo dragon does that, much like the bats does it. Okay, you never enter that and not see and not be impressed by the bats. There are a few other ones that we can go through, you know, a few other exhibits where you always see something. But even the ones that, there's even some of the elephant exhibits sometimes you go through, you can't really see anything.
Right.
I have never, unless he wasn't there, I have never walked past the Komodo dragon exhibit and not gotten a great photograph of a Komodo dragon.
Right.
And they look like dinosaurs, for God's sake. I mean, they're just so cool. You know, they're such interesting animals. So, Komodo dragon.
That's a good one.
Is my final pick, which leads us.
A lot of Maharaja Jungle Trek on this one.
There is. There is. And that leads us to you for your final pick,
and
Explorer
the last
Mickey.
One overall, right?
The last one overall.
Well. Can you. Okay.
You have a chance to come back with a big one here and win. What do you got
this
for
us? It's a good
us?
One if it's allowed.
It, well, okay. Well, we'll be the judge.
It's sort of a show slash
exhibit. Shows are attractions, not animal exhibits.
Really. This is not listed on the attraction.
All right, go ahead. What is it?
Winged Encounters.
I'll allow
on
that.
Discovery Island.
I'll allow that.
This is not really that much of a wowie thing. Like,
I don't know about that.
Wow. I think anybody who sees has their jaw dropped in this one because it is just intensely good.
It is. I love it. By, well,
why do you love it?
Because it's great.
Because they have this show all set up on Discovery Island. As you're walking through, you see these, like, what's it, like, three cast members I have?
Yeah, no more than that, actually. Yeah. I think four or five. And one talks and the others kind of growl birds.
And what happens?
You don't even realize they're doing that, too.
No, I know.
Yeah. And what happens is, like, all the birds, they kind of just, like, fly, they, well, where it's set up, it's near one of the bathrooms, and it's a lot better than I just made it sound.
Yeah, I hope so.
Edit that out.
Go ahead.
Um, they come flying through this big tree.
Yeah.
Onto this big little metal stand. And
sometimes they don't make it all the way to the stand. Sometimes they stay in the trees.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because they are birds, not audio animatronics.
Yeah, well, last time we were there, actually, one of them got lost or something like that.
Yep.
Right,
Dad? Yeah, that does happen.
That happened.
Yep.
And didn't we see someone you knew or something like that?
Hey, come on. It's Animal Kingdom. You always see somebody Mike knows. All right, so Winged Encounters is your last one. So
yeah.
So let's review, shall we? Mickey had the Gibbons, very strong. I think a lot of us would have put that in our top our top pick, right? Mike,
Mickey,
you said that would have been your top pick, right? Then the American Croc, which I don't know. That was kind of a fourth rounder that he picked in the second round. The Okapi is strong. Winged Encounters, very strong. So I think he actually had a better fourth round pick than he had a second round pick.
I would agree with that.
Gee, thanks.
You're welcome.
That's all right.
Mike, you had the Tigers, which is everybody's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
An aviary, which is, you know, has an appeal to some and not to others, because there is the problem of poop that is possible in birds, you know. The Oasis Swan Pond, which probably you're the only one who would have thought of that. And the Bats.
It's Safari Mike.
The Bats, which is fantastic. Right?
Yep.
The Bats is the I think your calling card, your big one here. And I had gorillas.
Bigger than tigers?
No, tigers and bats.
Probably. Sorry,
so basically, I had the gorillas, huge. The main savanna at Kilimanjaro Safaris, which is the biggest one of them all. The Siamangs, which is great.
It's a good one.
And the Komodo dragon. I really don't see how you guys even compete here.
I was going to pick the Saddle Bill Stork exhibit.
Yeah, see, you were going to lose.
Oh, come on.
I love that exhibit. If you go behind the Tree of Life.
It is good.
They're right there on the Discovery River. It's just great.
Did you have any others on your list that you didn't choose?
The two that I didn't choose were already taken. They were Komodo dragons.
So none that were already taken.
Gorillas.
So you don't have any that weren't already taken?
None besides that.
I also thought about the hippos, which would have been a good one.
Yeah.
That would have been a good one.
To get underwater, look at the hippos.
The Pangani hippos.
Right, right.
I had the Nile crocodiles.
That's also a good one.
And I also had if everybody took sort of the big ones, I didn't know if we were gonna you guys gonna take all the big ones. I had a couple of little ones in my list here. The otter exhibit is really really
that's
cool.
You never see them though.
Yeah, you used to. That's why I kind of scratched it off.
See what it looks like when it's all.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't get my hopes up if I was gonna go to that.
The cotton tops was another one that I had on my list of things that were gonna be smaller ones that I would have gone with, because I really do love the sort of proximity ones. I mean, even though I picked ones that aren't all about like close proximity other than the Komodo dragon ones, I love all these animals. So it doesn't make any difference to me what they are. So when you get these exhibits where you're right on top of these things, like the wallaby one, if you happen to see the wallaby, you can almost reach out and grab it and take it home
right.
with you.
Right. I mean, I tried to
it's right there.
With mine, I tried to go with sort of the aesthetics of
I tried to think of that too.
Which I think separates Animal Kingdom from your typical zoo.
Right.
Your typical zoo doesn't have like the Maharaja Jungle Trek and the story of the Rajas and stuff like that. It doesn't have like the pond and the oasis with the rope bridge and the waterfall coming down. It doesn't have, you know, this big river going around it and the animals right there in Discovery River, like the Saddle-billed Storks. You know, things like that I was looking for.
And wasn't Animal Kingdom's original name going to be Not a Zoo or something like that?
No, that was their original slogan. Marketing slogan. Yes. Yeah, Not a Zoo.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you guys
feel... gave that up before you were even born.
Do you feel like I do, that I won here?
No, you were terrible.
Come on.
You don't have a vote?
No, I don't, because I think it's going to end up being a stalemate. So that's it, guys, that we have our fantasy draft. So think of it this way. If you're going to go see four animal exhibits here, you now have 12 to make sure you go and see whenever you possibly can at the Animal Kingdom. So thank you once again for tuning into Radio Harambe. Don't forget, subscribe to the show on iTunes. Leave us a review. Those reviews do help to get the word out for us. Don't forget about our website, jomboeveryone.com. You'll find everything you need to know about the Animal Kingdom there. Also, please check out our store. We're selling some great unofficial Animal Kingdom merchandise there. All the profits go to the conservation partners that you see by going to jomboeveryone.com and clicking conservation. Also, follow us on Twitter I'm at Radio Harambe. Mike is at Jumbo Everyone. We also have links on our main site to Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, all that stuff. You can find those links at JumboEveryone.com. So, for Explorer Mickey and Safari Mike, I am Dave McBride. Kwaharini, go well, and thank you for listening to Radio Harambe. Now,